All right, well, hello everyone. You'll notice I'm not Ben, this is Ben.
Hi, I'm Ben.
There's three of us here to talk to you about different things, all about improving clients and making them as fast as you would normally expect them to be. So first of all, my name is Keegan. I'm gonna be talking about Siding Sync. And then you've got Ben going to be talking about the Rust SDK and then Mara about Element X. So first of all, Siding Sync and a bit about myself. I'm a staff software engineer at Element. And I've worked on many different projects over the years, and more recently working on things like Dendrite and peer-to-peer and Siding Sync. But first of all, what even is Siding Sync? So for context, Siding Sync, the current sync mechanism in Matrix is really, really slow. So if you have, you know, you go and open up your mobile app after a weekend away or something like that, it takes a little while to sync. It could take 30 seconds or a minute, depending on how many rooms are on your account. And this is kind of bad, right? We'd like it to sync instantly. And the whole point of Siding Sync is trying to make that happen, trying to make it sync instantly or virtually instantly. There was a talk last year on the online FOSDEM. If you want to know more information about the deep dive of how Siding Sync works, and there's a QR code there. But I'm not going to be covering too much detail about how Siding Sync works other than enough to kind of fill in the gaps if you have no idea what this is. So at a high level, Siding Sync works by sorting and filtering. So you can see here, you've got all the rooms on the user's account, and then you can filter that set of rooms down in some way. So for example, you could filter it based on like, I want encrypted rooms, or I want DM rooms, things like that. And then you can apply some sort of sorting operation to them. So you might say, sort them by the room name, or you could say, sort by recency, so like the last timestamp in the room, or by the number of notification counts, number of unread messages and stuff that mention your name and that sort of thing. And then you can request the first 5 rooms, 10 rooms, 20 rooms, and things like that. Also, the rooms themselves, you can filter the room state using Siding Sync. So in normal sync, you will go and get all of the room state. And if there's a lot of room state, that's not great. So in Siding Sync, you can specify, I'm only interested in like the topic of the room and whether it's encrypted or not, and that's it. This is a pretty big change to how Matrix works today. So how is this actually gonna, like, how are you actually gonna do this in practice? So in practice, there is a Go process, which is the Siding Sync proxy, which I've been working on for over a year now, which has a Postgres database attached, and it will go and do sync v2 requests on your behalf to an upstream server. It could be Synapse, could be Dendrite, whatever, it doesn't really matter, it could be Conduit. And the important thing here is that this proxy exposes a Siding Sync API. So it exposes a new endpoint for a new sync endpoint, and then a client can go and try the Siding Sync API and see how it feels for them. So they don't need to have a particular implementation on Synapse or wait for these implementations to land. You can try it on your own server if you run a proxy. In terms of a protocol level, what this looks like is you can see here you've got like some lists. It's a lists object, and then you can specify things like things we were talking about before. So you can say you've got the ranges there. You've got so that's how many like the top end rooms that you want, the sort ordering that you want, as well as any filters you apply here. And here you can see we're filtering by isDM true, and that's going to be used to populate the people tab, say on Element Web. You also have these things called room subscriptions. They are kind of like the room lists, but this is when you know the specific room ID. So if you follow a permalink, which may include the room ID, or if you refresh the page and you know that this person was currently viewing this room, that room may not be in this list, right? So you would need to subscribe to that room directly because you know the room ID. And typically, the kinds of information you want here is different. So in here, we are requesting all the state in the room and a much higher timeline limit because this is being used to populate the actual full room view. The response is very similar as well. So you have a list object here, and then you get a list of room IDs that are used to populate the correct ordering here. And then you also have a top-level rooms array, a rooms object, and then that's just a key value map where the keys are the room IDs and then the values are all the data that you requested. So these all get aggregated together, which I will speak about a bit later. In terms of what's new, so if you followed Siding Sync, then you might be like, okay, I know all this, but well, what's actually happened over the past year? We have clients now that run Siding Sync. So this is from Element Web. It's got a nice scary warning there. So, you know, it's great. It all works on web, but also it actually works on mobile devices as well, thanks to the Rust SDK, which I'll leave for Ben to talk about. So there's also a whole bunch of new extension MSCs. So extension MSCs are an idea of trying to break up the complexity of Siding Sync, because the Sync API is by far one of the most, or if not the most complicated part of the client-server API, and trying to put everything into one MSC is going to be doomed to failure. So we're trying to specify a core part of the MSC, the core part of what is syncing, which is the syncing rooms, and working out the sorts and the filter arguments, and then we're leaving to extensions all the extra stuff on top. And the idea is that you can opt into any of these things. So if you don't, if your client doesn't do receipts, then great, don't subscribe to receipts. Don't even enable this extension. Briefly, how these extensions work. So these two extensions go together because they ultimately are used to make encryption work in encrypted rooms. So you can see, or actually you can't see at all. Here is an encrypted event. So there's basically, you have to trust me, there's a ciphertext here with lots of gibberish effectively. And then you need a room key to go decrypt it into your normal text. The way that works is that you need to get keys via your two device messages. That's why they go together. The other thing here is that it implements another MSC called dropping stale send to device messages. You can barely see it on here, but this is an output from Postgres, which is trying to work out how many unread or unacknowledged two device events are there for a given user's device. And you might think that might be, say, 100, maybe 1,000 tops. It turns out this can be a lot. This is several hundred thousand unread or unacknowledged two device events. And it turns out when I analyzed a lot of this, this was almost entirely down to room keys being requested and then either canceled or successfully sent. So this MSC 3944 basically says, hey, if you request a room key and then you subsequently cancel that request, you're going to go and delete those two device messages so they don't just keep stacking up in this way. And that obviously really helps reduce the amount of bandwidth for Siding Sync as well. The other thing we've got is account data. So if you wonder what account data does, if you've ever used the breadcrumbs thing at the top here on Element Web, that's synchronized using account data. Also, account data is really, really useful for working out accurate notification counts. So at the bottom here, you can just about see that you've got some messages here. You've got a message in a timeline. This is encrypted. And it says here, notification count 1. Notification counts are the gray numbers, and you've got a highlight count of 0, which is the red number. And yet on the UI, you can see that it's a red number, and it's gone to 1. So something's happened here where the client has worked out that, I should use this as a highlight count, not a notification count. It's overridden what the service told it. And what's happened here is that the client has decrypted the message, and then it's checked the message to say, hey, you know, is there any app mention or any specific keywords based on your push rules? And if that is true, then it knows, okay, I need to actually make this a red highlight rather than just a normal gray unread count. And that's done using push rules. And push rules is done stored as an account data. Final two ones are receipts and typing. Thank you. So hopefully you know what receipts and typing notifications are. And the main changes for Siding Sync is that the receipts are lazily loaded. So you might think, what does that mean exactly? Well, if you get if you request a timeline limit of 10, then you will get those 10 events, and then you will get the receipts for those 10 events, and you won't get receipts for any other events. And you might think, hasn't it always done this? Well, not really. So here's some JQ for Matrix HQ, which is this room ID, and it's just pulling out the receipt EDU. And then kind of checking like roughly how many receipts there are. And you know, MatrixHQ is quite a big room, so you might think, you know, 100, 1,000. No, there's quite a lot of rooms, quite a lot of receipts in there. And this is not great from a bandwidth perspective, right? We don't want to be sending 53,000 read receipts, particularly for events which you are unlikely to ever view, right? Because these could be for events that occurred like a year ago. So Starling Sync also fixes that. So with all these performance optimizations, a very large account with 4,000 rooms can take less than a second to actually sync, which is down from 15 minutes on Sync V2. So very happy with that, but it's still not really good enough. We're trying to go big or go home kind of thing. So we want to make it even faster, so it is literally instant. You don't want to have to be waiting a couple of seconds. It should just kind of open up. Just like most other messaging clients, you can just open them up and they just work. The problem is that things are going to get a lot worse here, which I will talk about in a moment. We've added in a bunch of tracing to the proxy server. So things like this is runtime trace. So you can see exactly the control flow. There's some spans there, and you can see various optimizations that were done. So this is identifying slow bits of code. Lots and lots and lots of commits. Sometimes it's just you forgot to add an index. Sometimes you should be doing things in bulk instead of doing things sequentially. So lots of work has gone into this. And also, if you were going for 100 milliseconds, kind of aiming for 100 milliseconds, the actual amount of data you send is important, because this starts to become quite a large factor in the total time it takes. We can do simple things like deduplication and enabling gzip for large responses, which we now do. And as well as that, we can aggressively cache things in memory wherever possible, so we don't have to query the database when clients send a request. So there's three levels of caching involved at the proxy level, where there's a global cache, which contains kind of information which doesn't change for any user. So it's a constant. So things like the number of joined users in a room, it's the same if you're Alice or if you're Bob, it's always going to be the same. Whereas things like the user cache, or things like what's the unread count for this room? Well, that's going to change depending on which user. And then the connections are things like which room subscriptions have you got, or which lists, like what are your top end rooms or whatever your sliding window is. Interesting thing to note here is that the room name is actually not global data. The data that's used to calculate the room name is global data and is the same for everyone. But the room name itself isn't, because of DMs. So if you have a DM with Alice and Bob, then from Alice's point of view, the room name is Bob. But from Bob's point of view, the room name is Alice. So just very, lots and lots of optimizations have been done. So with all of this, we're now getting less than 100 milliseconds, which is what we wanted. But it's still not good enough, because things are going to get a lot worse. Because clients, really, it's all up to the clients. Because clients want offline support, and they want instant access. They don't want to have to be having to do a network request to, when they click on a room, they want to just see the list. They don't want to see a spinner. And in the best case, you have a spinner for half a second maybe, and then it loads, which is it's not great, but maybe acceptable. But then if you're on a mobile app and you go into a tunnel, then it's just going to spin it forever, and then you're sad. So users expect these things to kind of work instantly. And you can kind of, Starling Sync has ways that you can kind of fix this. So if you want to go and instantly see the room timeline, that's fine, because we can pre-cache the room timeline, right? You can use a higher timeline limit, and then you can go and pre-cache that. So you see the room list, you click through, and immediately you see all the events, at least a screen's worth of events. For the other thing, which is you want to scroll the room list instantly and smoothly, well, you can opt out of the sliding windows entirely, and you can just request really small stub information, like I just want the avatar, I just want the room name, and that's it. And then you'll know the position, the room name, the avatar, and then you can just request all the rooms entirely. So that will scale with the number of rooms in the user's account, but it's possible. And you can use something like this to say timeline limit of 0. But there's a problem here, right? Because you have a timeline limit of 20 on the first one, then a timeline limit of 0. So you kind of want a bit of both. So it turns out what clients really want is delayed data delivery. So the API wasn't originally designed for that a year ago. So we've made a lot of changes to support this kind of idea of delayed data delivery. So one of the things is timeline trickling. So what timeline trickling is that you can initially request a set of rooms, And you can say, I want only the most recent message in this room. And then at a later point, you can say, OK, now I want the last 10 messages in this room. And then it will go and effectively backpaginate those messages for you. Likewise, the clients want all the rooms in the account, so but they want maybe more detail on the rooms that are in the viewport. So again, you can support this by having two lists, effectively. You've got one list, which is just the visible rooms, and that might have more accurate information for like room previews. So you know, you've got room preview, you might have typing notifications, you might register for typing notifications in those rooms. But then you're not really interested in typing notifications for rooms, really far down the list. And then in the background, you can just have a separate list, which just kind of in the background goes and gets all the other rooms and all the core information that you need. So this has kind of been a huge trade-off, right? On the one hand, you've got Sync V2, which is getting everything and is super slow, but it's got fantastic offline support as a result of that. And on the other side, you've got Sliding Sync. It's super fast. You're only literally getting the data that you need. But there's compromises to be made there because you have to do network requests all the time and things can be slower. There's only so fast you can do. There's only so much you can optimize a server. So really, I think Element is kind of aiming to do something like that. So it's mostly kind of Sliding Sync, but there are compromises and trade-offs that are being made to try to give a really good offline experience as well. So in terms of what's next, we need to add threads because there's no threading support at all in Sliding Sync. And threads obviously only reasonably recently landed and was enabled everywhere. Threads is complicated because threads are changes fundamental answers to questions like, is this room unread? Because normally you could just be like, well, have you, what's your red marker? What's the most recent event? Okay, it must be unread. Whereas now you could have scenarios where the most recent event in the room is on a thread. So if you were just to click on a room and you see the timeline, they're all messages. But in a thread 3 days ago, there's actually a newer message. So adding support for threads is going to be quite tricky to get right. And we'll have to probably iterate on it quite a lot. But it is coming. The other thing we're going to be adding in is this concept called Delta tokens, which unless you've read the MSC, you'll have no idea what it is. Ultimately, what Delta tokens are is Sliding Sync has a problem at the moment, the proxy server, because it has amnesia. So it will time out your connection if you don't use it for, say, half an hour. And it will clean up all that in-memory state. All those caches and things get cleaned up. And the problem is that then when you reconnect, even though your client has stored those rooms and stored a lot of the timeline and stored a bunch of room state, the proxy server doesn't know this, so it's going to resend that information to you. So the point of Delta tokens is to say, hey, I already know about these events, and then those events aren't sent to the client again in duplicate. A few more API optimizations. So we recently swapped to using lists as keys, which basically means that instead of representing the requests and response lists as an array of lists, they're now just a big key value map, which makes it easier because you can then reference an individual list by the list key name. So for things like extensions, this is great because you could then have a way of expressing, I want typing notifications, but only on these named lists, whereas before that was very difficult to express. And we also really want to have comprehensive client support. It's getting reasonably stable now, and it's certainly very performant. And Element Web uses Sliding Sync natively in the JS SDK, but obviously that doesn't really work for mobile. And it would be nice to have some sort of like SDK that could be used for Android and iOS, and maybe even web at some point. And I think there is.
I think I'm good. Can I make this bigger? No, okay. Yes. Let's talk about the Rust SDK. So this is, overall a very technical talk. You've already noticed that. But I'm gonna lighten up a little bit more. So, but first about me. So I'm Ben. Hi. My name is the only name in the presentation. I don't know why. These guys have more work and show more stuff. Is that correct? Yeah. I've led the Rust SDK team for the last year for Element, and I've been working in decentralization, decentralized tech for a couple years already. Worked at Parity Tech before, was leading the Substrate client team there. If you know blockchains, it's one of the most favorite blockchain building systems. I'm going to be working as a tech lead for Actor Global, where we're building on top of the Rust SDK a organizing app for NGOs and civil society. So I've been working in this for over a decade. You might know me from almost not at all threatening talk I gave at JSON like 2017. That was already about like how do you do decentralized privacy first technology. Enough about me. Let's talk about, let me tell you a little story. We're back in 2019, 2020, and it's the state of the clients. For the sake of argument, I'm talking about Element clients here because I think there's exceptions to what I'm going to tell you, but let me tell you two truths and a lie, and you can tell me if you can spot the lie. So truth number one, many clients out there don't actually implement end-to-end encryption, which is pretty sad because it's a very fundamental part of what we're working on. That is mostly because it's hard. Even if you use the most widely used libohm library, that is a C library, there's already slightly dated. There's like a lot of knowledge that has been built up that is not easy to ingrain in this existing library anymore. Clients usually